Phillips, the golden voice of the great Southwest, and you're listening to Loafer's Glory, the hobo jungle of the mind. I saw the running man, shadowed because I was looking into the sun. He said, "I can't see you, friend," flickered and vanished. I saw the still man on a corner, one hand up holding a match, the other a matchbook, cigarette between his lips, perfectly motionless. Between them, a vast, chaotic, addictive wandering, forever one step closer to here, forever one step further away. "I can't see you, friend." The match will never, never strike the matchbook. Both tell me it is nearly over. Tonight, the trains are rolling through the prairies of my heart. I cannot go away from here. I cannot stay. But now I own the right of way. For once, the track ahead is clear. So here we are once again, and in the studio here with Steve Baker, the engineer. That was the Borsdorfs you were just listening to. We certainly want to thank the Heyshan World Fund of the Tides Foundation for making this hall possible. And thanks to Cool for technical assistance to Cool Hand Uke, the artist formerly known as Rod Nockin. We are in the studios of Community Station KVMR, which, as usual, encourages you all to reprioritize your ecotopian agenda. And we're in my hometown here of Nevada City, California, up here in the Sierra, where it's been unseasonably cold. Now, I don't know when you're listening to this. You could be listening to this on St. Swithin's Day, for all I know. They shuffle these things around, bouncing them off of the eye and the sky. But where I am in real time, I suppose they call it, it's almost Memorial Day, which is a big day in our family. It's I put up my flower stand down here next to the hot dog stand over on Broad Street next to the New York Hotel. And then, of course, as soon as people leave the graves they've decorated, we gather the flowers and bring them downtown and I sell them. We've sometimes sold the same flowers five or six times during one day. And, of course, my wife takes some down to Grass Valley for that market. We call our little business Pushing Daisies. But it certainly supplements the family income. That's the big news around our house, of course, is the raccoon that got run over out on Red Dog Road before you turn onto Bergman Lane. It's a shame. I hate to see that happen. But my wife, Joanna, found a little baby raccoon, now abandoned, of course, in the bushes alongside the road. I took it home, and she's been raising that raccoon, bottle-fed it. So they have little hands, so it will sit at the table and eat, and it could even hold utensils. I paper-trained it, so it would only use the paper over in the corner. Of course, a while back, it began to get some growth on it, felt that mating urge, and began to whimper and cry. So she had to turn it loose out the back door and watched it go away. Joanna waited on the back porch for, two, three nights, hoping that raccoon would come back. Well, third night, there she saw it up through the cedar grove right on the skyline, and it let out a squeal and ran down the hill, and she right up on the porch. She bent over to pick it up. It ran right between her legs and skidded to a stop on that newspaper over in the corner. We are going to have a program today of traveling songs. I did one before, but there's way, way too much to be able to do it in 1 hour, so... Right now, I want you to listen to a song that I just discovered from the mid-1920s by a person I know absolutely nothing about, Malcolm Leggett. But it has a wonderful yodel in it. It's called The Song of the Tramp.
There was a tramp named Robin Bill who rambled all slapped upon the ground. And every evening just about eight, that roving son of a gun would play upon an old guitar, and this is what he sung. Doodle-ay, 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 doodle-ay.
Wonderful. I was, if anybody knows anything more about Malcolm Leggett, Leggette, you let me know about that. I think he's got a darn fine yodel, and I'd just like to find out more of his music. You know, that's a scratchy old record, and there are programs I'm aware of that that you can pump this stuff, download it into a hard drive, whatever the hell that means, and use a sound enhancement and take all the scratches out and take all of that out and make it perfectly like it would be recorded today. But you know, not only can I afford not to do that, but damn it, you know, I don't want to turn yesterday into today. I want the past to speak to me from then to now. And I like those scratches. I like that hissing sound. I would miss it terribly if these things were ever cleaned up. We're going to listen to another one of those tramp song here, a very old tramp song. I guess one of my mentors on the traveling road was Frying Pan Jack. You know, I've talked so much about him before. Frying Pan Jack told me one time he was walking down a road trying to get a handout. It was a farm country. It was up in Oregon. He was walking down the road there, and he saw a very elderly woman out in the apple orchard holding a giant hog up over her head so that it could eat the apples off of the tree. Well, Jack said he ambled out there, and ambles partway between a sachet, a perambulation. You learn how to walk when you're tramping the roads. He ambled out there and said to her, "Ma'am, it's going to take you a long time to fatten up them hogs that way." And she said, "Aw, hell, time don't mean nothing to a hog anyway." A Zen aphorism. Let's listen to two fellas that were on the boards touring in the rural South from 1914 until 1915, or till 1950. Burnett and Rutherford, the Ramblin' Reckless Hobo.
Ramblin' reckless hobo left his happy home, started on a western trip by himself alone. He said, upon this western trip, I guess I'll have some fun. Standing at the Dijon house, and there's a song he sung. Standing on that platform, the smoking the Jeep cigar, waiting for a freight train to catch an empty car. Thinking of those good old times, a wishing they'd come again. I'm a thousand miles away from home, a bum in the railroad train. Kindness, kindness, will you give me a bite to eat? Little piece of popcorn bread and a little piece of meat. She threw her arms around me, said, "Love you as a friend. But if I give to you this time, you'll be bumming around again." Kindness, kindness, don't talk to me so rough. You think I am a hobo because I look so tough. Me in her kitchen, she treated me nice and kind. She put me in the notion of bumming all the time. When I left her kitchen, I was strolling down in town. I heard the double header blow, I thought it was bound. I walked out to the railroad, got to the railroad job. Heard the agent tell a man that freight train would not stop. My heart began to roll around and I began to sing. If that freight train goes through this town, I'll catch her on the wing. I pull my cap down over my eyes, I walk up to the track. Only stare up of an empty car, I never did look back. I got off in Danville, got stuck on a Danville girl. You bet your life she's out of sight, she wore the Danville curl. She wore her hair on the back of her head like high-toned people do. When the westbound train pulled out tonight, I bid that girl adieu. Now I'm in the city, boys, I'm trying to do what's right. Don't think because I'm a railroad boy that I am not all right. My pocketbook is empty, my heart is filled with pain. I'm a thousand miles away from home, I'm bombing the railroad train.
All aboard.
Yeah, Burnett and Rutherford, like I say, out traveling around from 1914 until 1950. And you hear in that song a little bit of watching for the trains, watching the trains go by, the Danville girls are waiting for a train by the great Jimmy Rogers. You know, those songs are all made out of what we call maverick stanzas, and they roam about from song to song, just like tramps roam about from place to place. Slow Motion Shorty was booming through, I guess it was Wish from Washington. Yeah, got himself a job along the road. As you know, you boom down the road and you try to find day labor. They'll get you up a road stake so you can go on to the next place. Saw a fellow was building an outhouse. It was mostly done. He was out there planing the boards for the door. And Slow Motion Shorty stopped by to help him out, at least to get a square meal. Well, he decided to run some field trials on that new crapper, Shorty did. So he went in there and sat down. When he got up to pull his pants up, some loose change fell out of his pocket down the hole. Well, slow motion Shorty took his wallet out of his pocket, took out a dollar bill, and threw it down the hole. And that fella said, "What the hell you do that for?" He said, "You don't think I'm going down there for 35 cents, do you?" Tramps aren't that dumb. I used to love to sing in a bar in Chicago called Holstein's up on North Lincoln, what the reviewers chose to call the chic North Lincoln folk strip. Holstein's was the best of them. It was a bar, yes, but the bar was in one room and the concert hall was in another. Fred Holstein could get after-hours drunks out for a convention in Chicago to sing with him, to sing along with him, and get to sing along on folk songs, I mean on people's music. And they would sing like angels, and as they came back year after year, it began to sound like the Norman Carbuncle Choir. It was absolutely beautiful. I think the best renditions of Haywire Max McClintock's hobo songs were recorded by Fred Holstein. Here's my old friend Fred Holstein singing the bum songs.
Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again.
Welcome all you jolly jokers if you wanna have some fun. And listen while I relate the tale of the great American bum. From east to west, from north to south, like a swarm of bees they come. They wear a shirt, they live in the dirt, they're dirty and full of grum. I am a bum, a jolly old bum, and I live like a royal Turk. I have good luck and I bum on my chuck, and the hell with a man that works. Well, it's early in the morning when the dew is on the ground. The bum arises from his nest and gazes all around. Well, going east he's loaded and going west he's tight. I guess we'll have to hop aboard the fast express tonight. I am a bum, a jolly old bum, and I live like a royal Turk. I have good luck and I bum on my chuck, and the hell with the man that works. Well, I met a man the other day I never saw before. He asked me if I wanted a job, a shovel and iron ore. I asked him what the wages was, he said 10 cents a ton. I said, "Oh fella, go scratch your ass, I'd rather be on the bum." I am a bum, a jolly old bum, and I live like a royal Turk. I have good luck and I bum on my check, and the hell with the man that works. Oh lady, would you be kind enough to give me something to eat? A piece of bread and butter and a 10-foot slice of meat. Some apple pie and custard just to tickle me appetite. For really I'm so hungry, don't know where to sleep tonight. I am a bum, a jolly old bum, and I live like a royal Turk. I have good luck and I bum on my chuck, and the hell with the man that works. You wonder why I'm a hobo and why I sleep in the ditch. It isn't because I'm lazy, no, I just don't want to get rich. I could eat from dishes, it's just a matter of choice. But when I eat from an old tin can, there ain't no dishes to wash. Diddly dum dee diddly dum dee dee, diddly dum dee dee. Well, I could be a conductor and never have a wreck. But any kind of a railroad man to me is a pain in the neck. Well, I could ride in a Pullman, but there it is again. The plush they put in the Pullman seats, it tickles my sensitive skin. Deedle-dee-dum-dee, deedle-dee-dum-dee-dee, deedle-dee-dum-dee-dee. Well, I could be a banker if ever I wanted to be. But the very thought of an iron cage is too suggestive for me. Well, I could be an accountant and always balance my books. But reading figures are weak as my eyes and glasses spoils my looks. Diddly-dum-dee, diddly-dum-dee-dee, diddly-dum-dee-dee. I could be a tenor and easily strike high C, but I heard one on the radio and that was enough for me. Whenever I think of Lincoln, I never can forgive a guy that murdered a man like him and let these tenors live. Diddly-dum-dee, diddly-dum-dee-dee, diddly-dum-dee-dee. Oh, I could be a a soldier and hold my rifle steady. But why in the hell should I volunteer? They'll draft me when they're ready. You wonder why I'm a hobo and why I sleep in the ditch. It isn't because I'm lazy, no, I just don't want to get rich. Diddly dum dee, diddly dum dee dee, diddly dum dee dee.
Fred Holstein, I sure miss Fred. He's bartending, I think, on Halstead or North Lincoln, one or the other, there at Sturch's Bar. Someday I might get back there and have a chance to see him and his brother Ed, who used to run the place, fine singer himself. A lot of tramps that I've run into travel with dogs. They're called rail dogs, and dogs have always hung around on the rail yards. Years ago, the railway, the REA, Railway Express Agency, a baggage agency, used to have dogs to guard the baggage rooms, and these dogs would get onto boxcars, and finally they had to put tags on them, telling whoever found them what their station of origin was. And a rail dog would sometimes cycle through the whole system until finally he got delivered back to the station where he lived. Tramps sometimes traveled with dogs, not only for the protection, but because of the companionship. There's a museum over in Golden, Colorado that I visited. It's a railroad museum up by Central City. And in one of the glass cases there, you'll see a leather dog collar with a silver plate on the side. And that collar was given by the people of that town to a dog who barked and woke up a telegraph agent in time to receive the message that there was a washout up ahead and that he was able to flag the train in time and prevent an awful disaster. And on the side of that dog collar, that silver plate, it says, "To Queenie. The more we see of men, the more we love dogs." Well, I crossed the Great Divide up there for the first time in Grand Junction, Colorado, headed up toward the Moffat Tunnel, punching the Great Divide. And of course, crossing the Great Divide is a singular experience in any tramp's life. It's kind of like being crossing the equator for the first time. It's an occasion fraught with ritual and massive libation. The ritual is when you've topped the divide and you're about to head down the other side. When you're right at the top, you lurch to the boxcar door, take out your lily and siphon it on the breeze. After you've grabbed the door jamb and firmly in one hand so you're not pitched out into the unrelieved wilderness, but then you can spend the rest of your mortal existence visualizing half of your bodily fluids wending their way down the Great Divide to the Pacific Ocean and the far Spice Islands beyond, and the other half going down into the Platte River, into the Mississippi, into the Gulf of Mexico. It's a cosmic experience. Up there in Grand Junction, there was a little dog. Oh, owned by a tramp, I suppose, who had lost his life or had wandered off or been thrown in jail. The dog was always there. It was called the Queen of the Rails. The brakeman and switchman used to feed it, take care of it. I think one of the brakemen, the way I heard it, finally retired and took the dog, Queen of the Rails, away with him. I made a song about that, Queen of the Rails.
I guess his name was Boomer Bill. If that won't do, another will. A hobo doesn't need a name, 'cause he never gets no mail. And the only friend old Boomer had to ride with him through good and bad was a shaggy little mongrel he called Queen of the Rails. The black smoke choo-choo's gone away, bummin' it's just not the same. Dreams are few and far between, but memories seldom fail. Waiting down there by the track for her master to come back, you can count on seeing that old dog called Queen of the Rails. Old Boomer bummed the Rio Grande, the Santa Fe, and never planned on where he'd be from day to day, the jungle or the jail. But when the snow was falling down, he'd catch a California bound with that little dog to keep him warm, old queen of the rails. The black smoke choo-choo's gone away, bummin' it's just not the same. Dreams are few and far between, but memories seldom fail. From waiting down there by the track for her master to come back, you can count on seeing that old dog, old queen of the rails. One day he went to get a bone, left his little pal alone. He crossed the coupling joints of a train that blocked the yard. They switched a reefer off the main and humped it into Boomer's train. He fell and died beneath the iron wheels, so cold and hard. The black smoke choo-choo's gone away, bummin' it's just not the same. Dreams are few and far between, but memories seldom fail. If there's a place for some old friend who waits until the journey's end, the Boomer, he'll be glad to see old Queen of the Rails.
Ah, Queen of the Rails. That's my, always my favorite run through the Moffat Tunnel, and I've talked about it so many times, but I use that like a commuter freight train just to go between Larimer Square and Denver back to the Roper Yards in Salt Lake. I love that cafe down in the Roper Yard, too. I made up a song about that, but someday we'll get around to that one. Right now I want to tell you a story. You know, I've said to you before how honest it is working on the street, how working on the street, singing on the street, doing whatever, making your living out on the street as a performer is the most honest living you can make, because you get back exactly what you put out, nothing more and nothing less. Here's a story about a fellow I met working on the street in Spokane, Washington. I first met Gordon Vales in Spokane, Washington. He sat down in the public park and tore pictures with one great thumbnail. Pictures of everything, real and imaginary, and he never looked at his hands. Gordon had been put in a mental institution as a baby. They never tested him. Nobody knew if he was retarded. He grew up institutionally retarded. They never let the kids have scissors because they were afraid that they would hurt themselves, so he took to tearing pictures. And that's how he shifted through the world. Whenever I got to feel that I was falling through the world too fast, I will go down and sit with Gordon and listen to his simple talk and watch his hands, and it would bring me back to the center of all things. I'm a reader of books, a teller of stories, a poet in danger of drowning in words, and sometimes a singer who needs to remember that some songs are better off left to the birds. The shadow maker still picks at the paper and hands back a shadow that looks just like me. He's better than some with an eye and a thumb, for he knows how to touch and he knows how to see. The young artist waits for his friends at the doorway and feeds on the praise that belongs to the proud. His muses all dressed in their gallery best will bend down to greet the applause of the crowd. The shadow maker still picks at the paper, a bucking horse cowboy as plain as can be. But he's better than most with a lie or a boast, for he knows how to touch and he knows how to see. It's one of those nights in the heat of the lights when the truth is a razor electric and shrill. The mannequins sing and the registers ring, and the dead tell us all how the living can kill. The shadow maker still picks at the paper. I feel like a door that's been handed the key. He's better than some with a knife or a gun, for he knows how to touch and he knows how to see. The shadow maker still picks at the paper and hands back a shadow that looks just like me. He's better than some with an eye and a thumb, for he knows how to touch and he knows how to see. Well, here we are back again after listening to Blind Kenny Hall. I know that every time I do this show, I mention his name, but I want you to always remember the name of Blind Kenny Hall. And eventually, he's going to get one of those National Heritage Awards for being a national treasure, which he certainly is, and he certainly deserves it. So much of what I learned about the traveling life, about doing it, and about how it came about in this country, especially in the West, I learned off of my elders. One of the principal ones was Jack Miller. Jack Miller was an organizer for the Industrial Workers of the World, the Wobblies. And, of course, that was when they were booming workers. You worked hard, but you worked from place to place, from job to job, generally riding on the freight trains. Jack Miller wound up running the Senior Citizen Center up there in Seattle for many years, and that's one of the places that I got to know him best. Jack Miller talked about the time that they burned the bindles. In those days, he said everybody carried what they owned on their back as they moved from place to place. Your bindle, your balloon, they called it. And packing the banner sometimes. Well, he said that there were no bunks in the bunkhouses in the logging camps. There was no bedding. You lay awake beside the fire, hoping your clothes would dry out to go to work the next morning. He said in 1917, by common consent, all those booming workers boomed into the railroad yards all through the Northwest, piled up their bindles in the makeup yards, poured kerosene on them, and burned them up. They burned up everything they had and forced the bosses to put bunkhouses into the logging camps. My friends, direct action gets the goods. Jack Miller said to me, he was a little guy, he said the first job he ever got working in a logging camp, he was still standing in a shape up there in line. The foreman, he got up to the foreman. The foreman looked at him and said, well, you're too little to do a job like this. And Jack Miller said, well, hell, I burnt up my road stake getting up here, and you got to give me a crack at it. Well, he said, all right. He's going to fun with him. He said, see that little sapling over there, about a 2-inch sapling? And yeah, Jack said, yeah, I see it. He unslung his double-bitted axe, was hanging on a belt around his shoulders, took it daintily between his thumb and his forefinger, swung it around his head, and snipped that little sapling off right at root level. It was phenomenal. Well, the foreman began to take him a little more seriously. He said, well, why don't you try that sugar pine over there? It was a substantial piece of business. Wick, snicker, snack with that vorpal axe. Jack Miller went after that, and down it came, and the foreman was astonished and looked at Jack Miller and said, where did you learn how to do that? He said, well, it was in the Sahara Forest. You mean the Sahara Desert? Sure, now. Jack Miller first sang this song to me. It was one of those old bunkhouse booming logging songs called The Lumberjack's Prayer.
I pray, dear Lord, for Jesus' sake, give us this day a T-bone steak. Hallowed be thy holy name, but don't forget to send the same. Oh, hear my humble cry, O Lord, and send us down some decent board, brown gravy and some German fried, with sliced tomatoes on the side. Observe me on my bended legs, I'm asking you for ham and eggs, and if thou havest custard pies, I'd like, dear Lord, the largest size. Oh, hear my cry, almighty host, I quite forgot the quail on toast. And let your kindly heart be stirred, and stuff some oysters in that bird. Dear Lord, we know your holy wish, on Friday we must have a fish. Our flesh is weak and spirit stale, you better make that fish a whale. Oh, hear me, Lord, remove these dogs, these sausages of powdered logs, your bull beef hash and bearded sprouts, take them to hell or thereabouts. With alum bread and pressed beef butts, dear Lord, you damn near root my guts. Your whitewash milk and oleorine, I wish to Christ I'd never seen. Oh, hear me, Lord, I'm praying still, but if you won't, our union will. Put pork chops on the bill of fare and starve no workers anywhere. Amen.
A way of life booming from job to job. Oh, I've done enough of that, chipping bricks in the brickyard so they could sell the old bricks because they were better than the new ones, swamping in the bars, you know, the person who washes it out. Pearl diving, dishwasher, what these days they call a hydroceramic technician. One of the most common booming trades coming up into the 20s and the 30s was cannery work, working in the canneries up and down the West Coast out here. Here's a very rare song put out by the Union, by the CIO, written and sung by Vern Partlow, who was a blacklisted newspaper man from Los Angeles and had to go to work in the canneries in order to make a living. I was so lucky to find this in a secondhand store, Vern Partlow singing Cannery Bill.
Come all you cannery workers, good news to you I'll tell. Our FTACIO has come in here to dwell, to help the workers organize their destiny fulfill. We'll do the job as sure as my name is Cannery Bill. My name is Cannery Bill, oh my name is Cannery Bill. I'm a USANCIO, my name is Cannery Bill. I've worked in Sacramento, wandered up and down, slaving in the canneries, in the California towns, Stockton and Modesto, Selma, Sunnyville, Oakland and Hayward, my name is Cannery Bill. Peaches, pears, apricots, tomatoes big and round, cutting, sorting, canning, the speed up tears you down. Hours long, wages low, you try to get ahead. You join up in the CIO, and the boss calls you a red. My name is Cannery Bill, oh, my name is Cannery Bill. I'm a USANCIO, my name is Cannery Bill. Now we've got a union, FTACIO. The boss called in the Teamsters, we told them where to go. We won a big election, but the bosses got tough. They signed up with the Teamsters, company union stuff. The workers were fired, for they would not play the game of the phony company union that bore the Teamsters' name. They braved clubs and tear gas, but swore they would not go for any cannery union but FTACIO. The Teamsters are stooging, and that is plain to see, for the Bank of America that runs the canneries. We've got a new election, the vote is bound to say, the workers want the CIO, the union FTA. My name is Cannery Bill, oh, my name is Cannery Bill. I'm a USANCIO, my name is Cannery Bill. When we can the Teamsters, the boss's scheme will fail. We'll strike a blow for freedom in the cannery sweatshop jail. We'll get higher wages, vacations with pay, safe conditions where we work with a good old FTA. All races, all religions, we're 60,000 strong. We're tired of being pushed around, we've been abused so long. FTACIO, we'll fight for it until we win that vote as sure as my name is Cannery Bill. My name is Cannery Bill, yes, and I have had my fill. I'm USANCIO, my name is Cannery Bill.
Cannery Bill, Vern Partlow. You know, another way to make a living when you're traveling on the road that we don't often think about, and that's working carny. I've done a little bit of that. I don't know how many of you remember the old sideshow days before you went into the big top. There was always work there. There was just always work around the tents themselves, or just with the carnies that moved from one state fair to the next, and it's a whole way of life. I think the best sideshow act I ever saw in my life was a tent at a carny, and a small fella came out dressed in an old ratty tuxedo with a little podium and a box sitting on that podium, and he announced to the assemblage that Rolaids absorb 10 times their weight. He ate 5 pounds of them and vanished. That's hard to believe. Here's an old carny song. You know, I've played Haywire Mac McClintock doing the Tramp songs. Of course, he wrote Hallelujah, I'm a Bum and Big Rock Candy Mountain. Here's a rare old Haywire Mac, because he worked in the carny. He's saying circus days.
Hold your horses. The elephants are coming.
Oh, my little honey pin arose on me, for I'm just as happy as a bumblebee. I must see that big parade, hear that steam piano play. Got to see the band a-coming down the street. Got to buy the tickets for a big front seat. Oh, see them, oh, hear them, ain't that music grand? Let's go, let's go. I've got to see that show on circus day. Just see that mule wearing pants. See Salome do the hoochie dance. Watch the acrobats tumbling round. See that great big funny clown. Look out for that big grizzly bear. He's a fright, he will bite on circus day. Just comes around but once a year. Oh, my honey, ain't you glad you're here? All the sideshows we'll investigate, and the monkeys we will festigate. Oh, you circus day.
Ladies and gentlemen, kindly turn your attention to the large banner displayed upon the left, showing a correct pictorial representation of the gigantic leaping Abyssinian lizard, measuring 72 feet from the top of his head to the tip of his tail, and 72 feet from the tip of his tail to the top of his head, making 144 feet in all.
Attention!
Next, we have Kiwi, the Australian wonder, sitting in a den of sliding, gliding serpents. Scientists tell us that the system of this strange creature has become so permeated with the poison from these venomous reptiles that she must be bitten at least once in 24 hours in order to maintain life.
Attention!
Next, we have the den of black-maned African lions. Professor Richard DiCenzo will enter that den of lions, and if he is lucky, he will come out alive. See them show their angry teeth. They have the will, yes, they have the power, but they dare not touch their trainer. Back, Brutus.
Again, Tintin!
Kindly remember that there is positively nothing said or done during the entire performance to shock the sensibilities of the most fastidious lady in the land, and it's all out and over 20 minutes before the big show commences.
Again, Tintin!
On circus day, just see that mule wearing pants. See Salome do the hoochie dance. Watch the acrobats tumbling round. See that great big funny clown. Look out for that big grizzly bear. He's a fright, he will bite on circus day. Just comes around but once a year. Oh, my honey, ain't you glad you're here? All the sideshows we'll investigate, and the monkeys we will festigate. Oh, you circus day.
Harry McClintock, Haywire Mac McClintock. Well, we're coming to the end of this show on Booming Trades. I remember fetched up in Seattle once. The freight train stopped right downtown there by the Pike Street Market. Of course, in the wintertime, you seek out the dry cleaning companies because they have a grate in their back alley where the hot air comes out. You stake that out. You send somebody into town to bring back some something to drink, something that's going to get that warm you up a little bit, mostly fortified wine, you know. In this case, it was Wild Irish Rose, which used to be the tramp's friend. 20% alcohol with methylated spirits added to it. Well, we sent somebody off up the street to get it while we hung on to our grate. And I took out a piece of chalk, and I scrivened, you know. It used to be the time of the scriveners who wrote poetry on the sidewalks. And I wrote this little paean to Wild Irish Rose on the wall of the alley there. And right after that, we're going to listen to another old medicine show, old minstrel show song. We'll drink to the rose that Barbary Allen grew, and the last rose to bid the summer fond adieu. And all the dear companions like roses faded now, but the rose within my glass is the last time will allow. Your ruby anesthetic will dull the sullen truth as we live in faded elegance beyond the dreams of youth. Yet dreaming still of other things, though not so fair or fine, we sleep entwined with Morpheus in the painless arms of wine. Oh, some will lead the cripple and some will lead the blind, but what of alms for him whose wound is of the mind? Oh, he will find release with the maid who bids him sup, for she has left a lover's kiss within the beggar's cup. And through all the storms that find us on the other side of life, she's been the bum's confessor, she's been the hobo's wife. And ere the book is finished, as the final pages close, I'll toast one fond remembrance to my wild Irish rose.
Time before they close the minstrel show.
Go to sleep, you weary hobo. Let the towns drift slowly by. Listen to the steel rails humming. That's the hobo's lullaby. Now do not think about tomorrow. Let tomorrow come and go. Tonight you have a nice warm boxcar, safe from all the rain and snow. I know your clothes are torn and ragged, and your hair is streaked with gray. Lift your chin and smile at trouble. You'll have peace and rest someday. Now do not let your heart be troubled. If the world calls you a bum, if your mother lives, she'd love you. For you're still your mother's son, I know. The police call you.
Well, I'm sorry we had to fade out on that. That was, of course, Goble Reeves and the original 1936 recording of Weary Hobo, which he wrote. And a lot of people think Woody Guthrie wrote that, but no, it was Goble Reeves. We'll have a chance to play that whole thing for you one of these days, but right now we've run out of time. You've been listening to Loafer's Glory, the Hobo Jungle of the Mind. Thanks for being with us. Fire is out, the moon is down, the parting glass is past and done, and I am bound to leave this town before the rising of the sun. Though long's the way and far's the mile until I rest my soul again with those who weep and those who smile and all the words and ways of man. Oh, some there are who may not bide, but wander to the journey's end, nor take a girl to be a bride, nor take a man to be a friend. And when I'm through with wandering, I'll sit by the road and weep for all the songs I did not sing and promises I did not keep.